Live. Uncensored. Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
All right, we're back now, and we're having a give and take here back and forth on the Bible and creation and how it all came about. Gene, you were just referring to this murder case in Louisiana, and DNA was employed to indeed identify the racial genetic structure of the murderer. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. A forensic science officer developed this, Dr. Tony Frudakia, F-R-U-D-A-K-I-A. He's from Sarasota, Florida, if anybody wants to call him there and verify this. He was on Forensic Files on Court TV with this story. He found out through his DNA research that you can determine what race DNA will show you. He determined through his DNA research that it was a black man that was doing these murders in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, not a white man. And they had all the witnesses said that they saw a white man drive away from some of these murder scenes. And they, I think they took about 1,000 people there, their DNA that were connected in any way with this case, and they couldn't find a match until Dr. Tony Frudakia came up with this DNA research that showed that it was a black man. So you can trace race through DNA. Oh, yes, we have the red corpuscles and white corpuscles, but we have different species or races in people. You see variety in God's creation in the animal kingdom. You don't say he has variety in the human kingdom also. I'm not saying humans are animals, because I don't believe that. But God is a God of variety in everything in nature. And we are a part of nature, even though we're human beings. A special creation. And if we all came from Adam and Eve, which violates God's law of kind after kind in Genesis chapter 1 also. God's law is kind after kind. You breed a certain animal to a certain animal, you're going to get that baby animal every time. There's no scientific research that proves that you can get different races from two human people of a same race. And Adam and Eve were the fathers and mothers of the white race. They were the father and mother of the white race, where the pre-Adamic races were created previously. And they have found human skulls in Africa dating far back to 6,000 years, but they've never found a white skull dating back past 6,000 years. But my point is that if we all came from Adam and Eve, you could not trace a racial person through DNA. It would be impossible.
Well, that sounds like quite an anomaly there, and based on the science involved in DNA structure, I would imagine that you would have to have a comment on that, Mike.
Yes,
unfortunately,
sir.
We're running up against the clock, so why don't we let you begin to tell us how you would explain that difference in what science has shown to be differences in genetics and race, and how do you jive that with the Bible? Why don't you just begin? Go ahead.
Let me first of all understand something. Gene, you believe in a gap theory, believe in two stories of creation, believe in a pre-Adamic race before Adam and Eve, you believe that different races, you believe in a local flood, you believe in death before sin, and Adam and Eve were the mother and father of the white race. Okay, I just want to make sure everybody out there understands that.
Well, it's not exactly all true what you said, but...
Because you're promoting racism there.
Oh, no, sir. I knew you was going to play the racism card probably here.
I don't believe in different races.
Racism, look it up in the dictionary. That means you think one race is superior above another.
Well, you've just said that.
I do not say that.
You've just said that.
I say that God created all the races. I'm not saying anything about racism.
No, but you said Adam and Eve, there was a people before Adam and Eve. They must be the dark people. So they're not as evolved as the white people then, are they?
What makes it racist to say that each race had their own original father and mother, human being?
Well, the Bible says
that's not racism at all.
Bible
that's not the definition
that.
Of racism.
Eve is the mother of all.
No. Oh, you want me to answer that first?
Oh, boy. All right. We'll get into that when we come back, gentlemen. Stay tuned for more fascinating, controversial discussion right here on Uncensored Radio Free America with our guest tonight. And we'll view that in just 3 minutes from now. We'll take calls later. I'm Rick Adams.
Yeah. heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
Well, all right. Things are beginning to get a little heated up here. Mike, if I understand what you're saying, you have basically switched from a biblical or scriptural defensive to a political defensive, and
no,
suggesting
not at all.
That this is a race issue, and that
no,
maybe Gene is espousing racism. Is that what you said?
No, I'm saying that Gene has said there are different races.
Yeah.
And I think that's correct.
But how does that make him espousing racism if you believe in different races?
Well, I believe that all people came from. I believe there's only one race, and I think our genetics will clearly show that
okay.
We can look different because of genetics. His case of being able to identify somebody as a black man, an Aborigine, or
yeah.
Caucasian, or something else by
mm-hmm.
Looking at the skull. That's what I wouldn't go with that. I would be very careful with that kind of a concept.
There. All right. Now, let Gene respond. I think you brought up the question about creation in the case of Adam and Eve. And, Gene, you wanted to respond specifically also to what Mike just brought up in characterizing your position. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, I'm just saying God said that his creation was very good, both the pre-Adamite and, of course, Adam and Eve were very good. And God is a God of variety in all nature, and he's a God of variety in human beings that we call species or races, kinds. And God's law is kind after kind. That's why when you put a male and a female black together, you're going to get a black baby. A white, you're going to get a white baby.
No, that's not
there's,
true.
There's no
that's not
kind
true.
After kind.
What,
and
you say that's not true, Mike?
That.
That's not true, Mike?
We actually have cases where people have had a dark and a light-colored twins.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? There's more of that than meets the eye. A woman can get pregnant by 2 men close together at the same time. There's kind after kind. You're
No. This was not that. That was just one man, one woman.
We don't know the facts of that case. You're just telling us this. We don't know the facts.
Well, he's saying there are several cases. There's more than one case, Mike.
That would be an aberration. How many people that get together as different races have white children from a white couple, black children from black people? I mean, what kind of aberration that you're suggesting? How often does that happen?
Now you're saying that's an aberration. If two white people would have a dark child, that's an aberration.
I'd say that would be against God's law of kind after kind.
But wait a minute. Hold on, gentlemen. Wouldn't that indicate a genetic predisposition going back to the previous generations?
It could be a mutation.
Genes.
Yeah, the genes that are right. Uh-huh. Exactly.
I'd like to get to this aberration thing with God here.
How many people, how many white couples have white babies? How many black couples have black babies? I mean, it's 99 and 9/10 that's going to happen. And any kind of aberration would be an abnormality of that because it goes against God's law of kind after kind. You put two Siamese cats together, you're going to get Siamese kittens, I guarantee, just about every time.
Are you presupposing God's law there?
Huh?
You know God's law there?
Oh, yes, I do.
Does it say that in the Bible that it's God's law that two white people can't have a black?
It works with animals as well as people. And you mentioned Genesis 3:20, that he was the mother of all living. And, you know, it doesn't say living people. You put the word in there, like Adam and Eve from male and female, you put people in there in Genesis 3:20. It doesn't say people, it says living. And the reason it just says living is because the Hebrew word kai refers to plants, it refers to animals. Are you saying that Eve was the mother of all plants and animals also? Because the Hebrew word kai is used in Genesis chapter 1 to refer to living kinds again, in animals and in human beings. And in Genesis, and when Noah took animals onto the ark, he took them in according to their kinds. And living kinds, living creatures. And the Hebrew word is kai. The Hebrew word kai there always is used in the context with kind. So Eve was the mother of all her living kai or kind.
I would agree with that. I have no problem with that. Which means
people. And her kind was of the white race. We
no, it doesn't say that. Wait a minute. It doesn't say that in the Bible. Where does it say white race?
Oh, yes, it does, sir. Adam's, you don't think that Adam's lineage was the Israel people? You don't think that their lineage
why do you think Adam and Eve are white?
Semitic people?
Where do you get in the Bible
people are white.
Where do you find that in the Bible?
Where do I find that? You don't read the lineage of Adam in the Bible?
It does not say Adam and Eve are white.
Well, his lineage was white because the Israelites came from his lineage, and they're white.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are white. And also the fact that you trace the Hebrew word for Adam there, and it comes from another Hebrew word that means to be rosy, to be ruddy, which means to have a rosy complexion, which is always with a white race.
Was Jesus white?
The scriptures prove definitely that Adam and Eve were the mother and father of the white race.
I think you're stepping in a big hole here. Nowhere in the Bible say Adam and Eve were white. It does not say that.
Because the word Adam, it comes from the Hebrew word that means to be rosy, to show blood in the face, which only white people can do.
It doesn't say that.
Yes, it does, sir.
I think your Hebrew is very suspect there.
Go to Strong's Concordance and you'll see that.
And I think you're really promoting, when you get into this different race card here, it's...
Oh, really?
I can't buy that. I do not believe in different races. I believe in one race. We're the human race, and we're all of one blood.
There's no such thing as a human race.
There is.
Because we're race is a species, and species is kind, and kind is variety.
Right.
We see different kinds in animal kingdom, in nature, in the plant kingdom, and we do that in the human kingdom also.
In the human.
God is the God of variety. But
I agree.
His law is kind after kind.
He has put genetic variability in our DNA. We have tremendous amount of information that allows us to be variable within kind but not become another kind.
Well, this
kind.
Is the question, Mike, for both of you. Are the races one species which radiate from the same root, or do they represent several species, each having their own separate origin?
Well,
you say the former, not the latter.
That's a loaded question. There's one race, and I will not budge from that one race.
Well, not loaded, because you have to admit that race... race obviously has to do with genetic makeup, as we saw with the DNA.
Sure, but the DNA
whites
shows
are whites, blacks are blacks,
species.
Colors are colors, Orientals are Orientals. There are different races. I mean,
hey,
on a human level, we always speak of mankind divided into into ethnicities, race, nationality, and so forth.
There's
why do we speak of
different nationalities, but not different races? Because we all have the 46 chromosomes. We all have genetic variability. What allows us to look different in our skin color is something called melanin.
But why do you limit it to skin color? What about skull bone structure? What about the makeup genetically internally of the organs that are different?
No, they're not different.
Oh, yes, they are.
Oh, no, they're not. Not at all.
The skull features are different, sir. Forensic science can determine race by DNA. They can determine race by skull fractures.
You're going back to a German experiment back then.
No, a German experiment, sir. They use this in forensic science to solve murder cases right now. There's no German. And if it was German, what's wrong with that anyway?
Well, let me ask you this, Mike. When we know in science today, there are diseases which certain groups of people, certain, quote, races, if you will, have a disposition toward acquiring. We know of sickle cell anemia, for instance, Kay-Sachs disease, and so forth. So how can you deny that? I mean,
does that mean we're a different race, though. That has nothing to do with the race. It has to do with genetic variability down through the ages.
From within the same race?
Within the same race, exactly.
And how did all of these changes take place?
It sounds like
evolutionary theory here.
Nope. What you're forgetting is genetic variability and natural selection are not evolution. That's called variability within kind, which, Gene, I agree with you 100%, Gene. There,
yeah.
God is a God of variety. That's why he gave us so much information in our genome. We can range in size from 3'10", Billy Barty, to over 7-foot-tall, Shaquille O'Neal. We can have different shades of skin color. We can have different eye forms, which is mostly a fat layer underneath our eyes. But
how do you account, Gene, both of you, then, for the difference, for instance, in all that has been archaeologically found over the centuries and the millennia, of the skull differences, for instance, between one group of people, another group of people, primitive tribes, aborigines, so on and so forth? How did this take place? Now, let me see if I understand you, Mike.
Okay. Where you live, you can adapt to your environment.
Uh-huh.
We see that in every creature has the ability to adapt to its environment. We adapt our environment, for instance, Neanderthals.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at Neanderthals and study their anatomy, everything we find in Neanderthals we find in modern human beings today. What they were was a group of people, very smart people, as a matter of fact, when you study what they did, that lived in a cold, harsh climate, and their characteristics are much like the Inuits today that live in a cold, harsh climate, where we find most of their bones was in Ice Age Europe. So they're 100% human that just lived in a cold, harsh climate. Yes, they had a short, stocky body build, as in generally. Well, so do people today. That protects you in a cold climate. You give off less body heat. Some of them had a brow ridge that stuck out. Well, that can come from two different sources. One, it can come from the way you chew, causing compression, or living to an older, little older age, because your facial bones continue to thicken throughout your life. But we have people today that look exactly like that.
You're talking about adaptation now.
Yes, and that's not evolution. That's just genetic variability.
Adapting. Well, now, the evolutionists say that the reason the giraffe got to where he is and his neck is so tall is because of the way he stretched his neck, I believe. Yeah.
The evolutionists don't say that anymore.
They don't say that anymore?
No, that was even Darwin didn't believe that.
Now what do they say, then?
Now their mechanism for change is called mutations and then selection, natural selection.
Uh-huh.
But neither one of those work because almost every known mutation is either detrimental or neutral.
Uh-huh.
And when you study there are some what we term beneficial mutations, they don't even fall into the selection zone. And then we look at the population genetics, the selection process is a killer to evolution. This natural selection never works at the nucleotide level. It always works at the whole group or organism level. Which means if most mutations are neutral or detrimental, every time it would find a beneficial one, we're gaining thousands of detrimental and neutral ones.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going downhill fast. And that's pretty well observed by the population geneticists. So every generation is getting about 100 new mutations in it.
Uh-huh. Well, I would agree that if anything, we're devolving, not evolving. That's for sure. All right, I'll be back with our two guests. We'll take some calls. I'm Rick Adam.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
The New World Order thought police are on the run. Because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Back now, and Rick Adams with you. By the way, this interesting program and turned into quite an interesting exchange. I want to give you a chance, both of you, to mention, you know, how people can get in touch with you. And the fact, I guess in your case, Mike, you have a museum that you represent, right? Creation Museum.
That's correct. We've had over 250,000 visitors since May 28th.
And where is it located?
It's located just outside Cincinnati, two exits away from the Cincinnati airport.
Okay.
It's in Petersburg, Kentucky.
Are you enjoying this program, Mike?
Yes, I am. I enjoy, because I know both Gene and I love the Lord, and we both stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ.
All right. Very good. I'm happy to hear that. Gene,
may I respond just sure. Before we go to the phones, Rick?
Sure, Gene.
You can have adaptations, but there's no reason for skin color to be changed because of an adaptation. And again, race is more than skin color. Forensic science can take a partial piece of a skull, a human skull, and they can determine what race it is by that. And like I say, this Dr. Tony Faducchia of Sarasota, Florida, has developed DNA to determine what race a person is through DNA. And they gave him 20 blood samples. And they didn't tell him what race they were, and he got all of them correct in this murder case in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that was profiled on Forensic Files on Court TV. This is science, and it's also the Bible. You can have variety, but you still have within a race, you can have variety. The height, maybe a white person has a little bit as olive complected. Some are just pale white. But race goes beyond just that. It goes into your mainly your facial features and your skull. And even black people have a higher tailbone than we do as white people. And, of course, like you mentioned, Rick, the different diseases that certain races have a proclivity for.
Right.
And
okay,
so what
let's
saying
do
is
this
the
now.
Bible doesn't. The Bible teaches these different races and these pre-Adamic people, and it goes right along with science and DNA.
I haven't seen that in the Bible yet.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, evolution says we all come from a common parent, too, by the way. Evolution says that animals have adapted to what they have. All right.
Now you're making a broad mistake.
No. That's what evolution says. We have a common ancestry, but DNA proves we do not. And the Bible proves we do
not. You're making a wrong assumption there, an incorrect. We agree that man came from man only.
We have a common ancestor all from Adam and Eve, and that's what evolution says. We have a common ancestry, not Adam and Eve,
but not from
we
Adam.
Have a common
wait a minute,
human
now, Gene, you're trying to pin something there. Evolution says we all came from the amoeba on up.
Evolution says we have a common human ancestry through evolution, and Judeo-Christianity just says, well, we have a common ancestry through Adam and Eve. You know, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, still a duck. And so what I'm saying is the Bible says we have that pre-Adamic people predated Adam and Eve. You cannot get a different race from two male and female, man and woman of the same race. 99 9/10% of the time it's going to be that same race. Like with two Siamese cats, you're going to get Siamese kittens
Show me pre-Adamic people in the Bible.
Male and female right there. I showed you the two different commands. That male and female does not have a definite article in front of those words meaning more than one. That's true in English as well as the Hebrew. Just these creation story differences shows us two different creations right there. And again, God created the different races individually. We each have a human and a mother individual, a mother and father for each race. God said it was very good because he's a God of variety, not only variety, he's a God of different kinds, just like an animal.
You think a black man and a white man should, or black and white should marry?
No.
You don't think so?
Not at all. That's adultery.
Where does it say that?
Adulterate means to mix, sir. Look it up in the dictionary. Adulterate means to mix anything, and those commandments were given to people.
No,
so that means
got it
not
wrong
to mix
there,
the races of people.
I would disagree with you. Nowhere in the Bible
you
say that.
You can't get to disagree with the word adultery.
I know what adultery means, but it does not mean a black and white cannot marry, or brown and white, or brown and black. It doesn't mean that.
We're not to mix the races in marriage, no. That's adultery, totally. God created them separately to keep our separate racial characteristics. He said it was very good, and he meant to be that way, or he would have created us polka dot if he wanted to do.
So that's another point you're making.
If he wanted us polka dot, he would have created us that way.
So you're saying mixed black and white should not marry.
That's right.
So you're against that. Okay, I just want to make sure the audience knows that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And the Bible says that, too. Look at the word adultery. That's what it means to mix anything.
No, it doesn't, Gene. You're wrong there
again. Look it up in the dictionary. Show I'm wrong.
You're wrong in the Bible.
Look at the word adulterate in the dictionary and see if I'm wrong.
No,
it means to mix anything of two different substances together.
You're bluffing.
If you mix black and white paint together, you've adulterated the paint.
As you've done with your Hebrew, you're bluffing there again.
Go to my lexicon sources and see if I'm not right.
Gene,
I challenge you to do that.
You're bluffing again, Gene, because there's many lexicon sources.
You haven't disproved anything I've said. Not one thing I've said. I've given sources for my four.
Well, I'll tell you, you can do a lot of research, and when we get together again, I hope we will. But right now, look, we're up against the break, and when we come back, we'll have a whole span of 20 minutes or less to take calls. And why don't we do that tonight and take some calls quickly, and we'll ask our callers to make your question or point, make it as brief as possible, okay? 800-313-9443. And we'll do that in 3 minutes when we continue on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to safecastleroyal.com. That's safecastleroyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
Okay, hey, we're back, gentlemen, and we've certainly opened up just a small sample of how men of faith can debate the scriptures, and it goes to show that there is probably as much debate, if not more, in creationist circles as there is in evolutionary circles. Although I guess with evolution, there are so many different theories, you don't know where to begin, and they've changed and evolved or devolved as time has gone on. But anyway, are you ready for some questions, gentlemen, and comments? All right, let's do that now, and I ask our audience to be brief, obviously polite, and to ask a question pertaining to what you've heard. All right, let's not get off into all different directions. Let me start with Steve first in Texas. Hello, Steve, you're on the air.
Yeah, good show, Rick. I'll try to be brief. I'll make this quick. I agree with Gene on some things, and I don't on the others, and I'll be as quick as I can.
All right.
I want to add something that Gene said in Isaiah 45:18. God did create the earth to be inhabited and with form. And I do agree that there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. And you cannot say how old the earth is, but you can say Adam goes back almost 6,000 years. So it could be billions. But let me move on real quick. One thing I think, Gene, you might remember in 2 Corinthians 4:4, we know that Satan is the god of this age or the world. And in John 8:4:4, we hear he's the devil, his father, And this one was a murderer from the beginning. And I don't remember in Genesis he murdered anything, but he did wipe out the very first age. Mm-hmm. We are in a second age. I agree with Gene. And we will move to a third age because the Greek word for age, eon, has been translated into world. It should be the god of this age, they say, the world. But let me move on quickly. I do agree with Gene that in Genesis 1:28, he did say replenish in the King James Bible, and it is the same word in Genesis 9:1. He told Noah, the exact same Hebrew word, to replenish. But, Gene, I do see in Genesis 7:21 that he did wipe out the world, and all flesh died. So now we have three sons of Noah that have to replenish the world. And one went north, one went south. And if you look at the DNA combinations, and if you could have 100 children, I'd bet you'd have some strange-looking kids out of 100, because we do have all the DNA in us that we need to get all these different groups. And I definitely believe it was Adam and then Noah, because he said in Genesis 7:21 he wiped it out. And one last thing, and I'll get off.
Well, why don't you stop there, because you're just you're reciting so much. Let Gene respond to what you've said so far. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, the word earth there is the Hebrew word eris, Genesis 7:21. It means the land area. Over 1,600 times in the Hebrew scriptures, it means the land area. So you can't say it means the planet earth here. And we haven't got time to go into all the details and the evidence of a regional flood, but it said that Noah was a righteous man, perfect in his generation. Now, in the Hebrew, that means perfect in his racial purity. He was from Adam and Eve, a pure white person, his family was, and so it could not have been a worldwide flood for that reason either, because you cannot get all the different races from white people, no more than you can get white from black people.
Gee,
and it's kind after kind again. That would violate God's law of kind after kind established in Genesis chapter 1.
I think what you're seeing there as far as being perfect is that he was in the lineage of Adam, and we know that lineage leads to Jesus. But if you look at a composite of Jesus in those times, you can even find it on Google when it says he disappeared into the crowds. He wasn't this white, blonde, blue-eyed guy that we see on the walls all over the place.
Yeah, well,
that's not what he looked like.
Well, perfect in the generations in the Hebrew does mean racially pure, and it does not. Jesus Christ was, of course, that way also, coming from Mary, who was related to Noah and to Adam and Eve, of course.
I mean, I back you on the pre-earth that there definitely was something going on.
All right, now, do you have a question or a comment where you agree or disagree with Mike, our other guest?
Well, I agree with him where he says that they weren't all white and that there's plenty of DNA in everybody's DNA to do all the races. But I do agree with Gene that there was a wipeout of the first age of the earth with the dinosaurs and the pre-Adams, pre-humans of this lineage that leads to Christ.
All right, we've already
had... I don't have a question anymore.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you, man.
Had that addressed before in the program, so let's move on for sake of time. Ken in Tennessee, I believe, is next. Hello, Ken.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the program.
I'm calling from a cell phone, so if the connection's bad, let me know.
Okay.
I need to make a statement. I could make it quicker than the previous gentleman. I really disagree. The scripture does not teach a pre-Adamic race, and I want to give a couple of reasons why. And the gentleman, Gene, this is an issue of grammar, not lexicography. If you look, Genesis 1-1 is an introductory summary statement similar to chapter 2, verse 4, chapter 5, verse 1. The Hebrews reason from the general to the specific. So verse 1 is an introductory summary statement. And then verses 2 through 27 particularize this introductory statement. In verse 2, it begins with a vav disjunctive, which it's not a sequence. It's a parenthetical statement. And you're not going to know that looking in a lexicon, sir. You need to look in a grammar. And what it says, it could be translated, now the earth was without form. In other words, like if you build a house, the lumberman brings a big pile of lumber, and you have the building materials, and then the carpenter puts it together. So that's for the imagery. And there's grammatically no reason to have a gap. The gap theory arose in Christian circles concurrent with the theory of evolution and Darwinianism. And I don't think that's a coincidence. Secondly, the word male in Hebrew simply means to fulfill. The word replenish in Old English, re, is an intensive prefix. It doesn't mean again. And you can look it up in Oxford. I'm at a disadvantage because my library is stored, but there's an Oxford dictionary of the English language. It's probably in the Cambridge as well. That is an intensive particle. It doesn't mean repeat as much as intense. And the individual that wrote the commentary on Genesis from Creation Research, who definitely was a Hebrew scholar and an English scholar, explains all of this in his commentary. I can't think of the guy's name, but I'm sure y'all know who I'm talking about. Another point I want to make that I guess to me points out how you're confused grammatically or in a lexical manner. You know, Moses married a black man, and I don't see God condemning him for committing adultery. So you need to be very careful with what you're saying. But the main point I'm making is that Genesis 1-2 is not a gap grammatically. And the people that you referenced, quite frankly, you referenced lexicographers, not grammarians. And so the lexicons, you have to go to the grammars to understand this.
Okay, listen, you've made
May
some points. Let Gene
that?
Respond now, okay?
Well, it's interesting that he doesn't want to go to the lexicons because the Bible's inspired in Hebrew here.
No, I'll go to the lexicons. You don't want to go to the grammar, sir.
Sir, I didn't interrupt
lexicons.
You. All right?
Please, caller. Caller, hang on.
But don't be so rude. All right. The word "and," it's like I said, I was born a baby and I became a man. The word "and" there can join two long time periods. Or there's nothing that says the word "and" or any conjunction has to join two time periods close together. Number two, we have to go by the Hebrew original language, the inspired language, not English. And it does say just what I said. I challenge you to go to any of the Hebrew lexicons I mentioned to show differently. And also the word replenish, I've already talked about that. In Hebrew you don't have re this or re that like in English, replenish, reestablish. You have to go by the context to translate it into English as either replenish or reestablish. And that's what the King James translators correctly did. And, the gap theory does not come from evolution at all. It's not a theory. It is a fact, according to the original Hebrew language, which we must go by at times to understand the English.
All right.
And that's
thank
called Bible
you,
study.
Thank you for the call. I have to break here.
Hebrew. I've had 3 years of Hebrew.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call. I have to break
two.
Here.
I challenge you to show me differently.
Thank you for the call.
The lexicon.
Hello? Mike?
Yeah.
Am I on?
Yes.
Okay. Let's move along because, I said, I want the calls to be brief, and I'm speaking to the caller. We don't have time for a major debate here. We can do that in the next program, maybe. Let's move on to, Harold in Tennessee. Hi, Harold. You're next.
Hello, Rick.
Yes. Hi.
How's everything tonight?
Good. Say hello to Mike Riddle and Gene.
Mike and Gene.
Hello, Harold.
Hello there.
okay. I've got one quick question.
All right.
If there was no other races, then why did God tell Cain to go out into the wilderness to find his mate?
All right. Mike, do you want to address that first? Or?
Okay. First of all, it's kind of getting down to where Cain get his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it says of Adam and Eve in Genesis 5:4 that they had other sons and daughters, which implies that Cain would have married most likely his sister. Is that a problem? Well, today it is, because we call that incest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is incest? It's marrying your close relative, and if the probability there is if both parents have the same mutation, high probability the children will be deformed. So it's a mechanism to protect the children. But since God's creation was perfect, we didn't have that genetic load of mutations back then. You could marry your close relative. You could marry your brother's sister. Who did Abraham marry? His half-sister. Was that against the law? Absolutely not. It was not forbidden to marry your close relative until chapter 18, the book of Leviticus, where God outlaws it. After about 2,500 years after the fall and after accumulating mutations, God outlaws it because we have a perfect good God who knows all things.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that after that, that many mutations, children might be harmed, deformed because of mutation level there. But before then, it was perfectly legal to marry a close relative or your brother or sister.
May I respond?
Yes, Gene.
Adam and Eve had other children after Cain left, according to the historic record here. These people get the record turned around and say they had daughters before Cain,
yeah.
left. Well, if you read the account, it clearly says Cain left before they had daughters.
No, it doesn't.
Well, show us exactly where now in Genesis is that.
Yes, we're in Genesis chapter 4.
Okay.
And Cain's marrying his sister comes from Judaism, from the book of Jubilees, which was used to create the Babylon Talmud of Judaism.
I wouldn't use the book of Jubilees there, because that's a book that's not part of the Bible.
I know it is, but that's where you get the answer that Cain married his sister. It's from the book of Jubilees. That was the original book that had that
All right,
in
let's
there.
Go to the scriptures and see what it says.
And the scriptures say, here, let me quote, quote Genesis 4:14. This
right.
is Cain speaking. We have the testimony of the person himself. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Again, showing the word earth means a land area, not the planet earth. Because
mm-hmm.
Cain did not go off the planet earth. And Cain is giving us a testimony that only he was driven out of the land of Eden. He didn't say, me and my wife. And if I had a wife and we were driven out of our house for whatever reason, I would say that me and my wife were driven out, not just me.
Well, you're
I would
making
not neglect my wife.
A scriptural problem and wrong interpretation there again, Gene.
Really?
Because in the Old Testament, they generally refer to the male and not to the female very often.
Excuse me, sir. The women are named in the Bible all the time. Abraham and Sarah, he did not leave his wife out of anything. You can't give any example in the Bible where any married couple, where the woman was left out. We have the testimony of Cain that only he was driven out. And God put a mark on Cain so that if anyone found him, they would not kill him. Well, who were these other people that would find him and kill him if Adam and Eve were the only people on earth? These Judeo-Catholics and Judeo-Christians cannot answer that.
And why would
there is
he
no
have
answer to that,
well,
except the fact that Adam and Eve were not the first people on earth.
And why would he have to go out into the wilderness to find her?
Yeah, exactly. He finds his wife after he leaves the garden, if you want to read the historic account in the Bible correctly here.
All right.
And then daughters were not born to Adam and Eve until after Cain left.
Okay, thank you.
I thank you for the call. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
You've added an awful lot to the Bible. Adding?
Just going by what it says chronology here.
Well, I would say one thing. You've got your whole interpretation of the flood wrong. You've got your Hebrew wrong. You haven't looked at the flood account.
Well, I have my Hebrew wrong. You haven't given me one historic Hebrew lexicon that I mentioned that doesn't back me up.
Well, I would believe both of
them. These are scholarly sources that are used in seminaries, even.
Most all the modern lexicons used in the 20th century refer to the creation as six literal days.
I believe in a six literal day creation, yes.
But you believe in a recreation, not a creation.
It's a recreation of after Satan's rebellion.
I don't see the word recreation anywhere in the Bible.
It's a recreation of the earth.
I don't see that in the Bible.
After Satan's rebellion.
I don't see that in the Bible, James.
Well, you haven't read all the Bible then, apparently.
I have, and I never see the word recreation.
You haven't read Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, Revelation 12. Jesus said, I should behold Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What do you think he meant by that? Do you think he was just using words meaninglessly?
Well, let me go through. Can I go through some words that are used in the flood?
Yeah, we don't have much time before the break, but go ahead. Then we'll take another call.
The flood uses upon the face of all the earth, which clearly alludes to the first occurrence of the phrase in the universal context of Genesis 1:29. Uses the words all flesh, every living thing under the whole heaven, and that means it can't be limiting to just small
yes,
area.
It can. It's to a land
area. All the fountains of the great deep burst forth. And it also uses the word Mabul, which is 13 occurrences, is only used of the Genesis flood, that makes it a different flood than anything else that's ever happened. There are other words for flood, but only the word Mabul is used there.
The word Eretz in the Hebrew means a land area over 1,600 times. You can't say that means the planet Earth there.
But it also says the waters covered the highest hills, the mountains.
That's right. And if it covered the highest mountain, that would be Mount Everest over 29,000 feet.
Oh, Gene, you don't understand your geology there. You don't understand your geology there, Gene.
All right.
It's talking about the mountains and the hills and that land area. You don't think that land area that Noah was in had any mountains or hills?
Well, we do believe in hills, but we also know that the land masses rose rather rapidly.
Uh-huh. And
you
how
don't
did it go down? How did the water go
that.
Down, sir, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1?
Well, you know we find seashells on top of every mountain range, including Mount Everest.
How did the water go down? Instead, a wind came over the water, and you can't have wind coming over a water and evaporating water in a worldwide flood. The water will not go down because there's nowhere to dump the water.
Well, read Psalm 104.
If you dump the water, you're just going to add to the water what you're taking away automatically.
Try Psalm 104, Gene. It actually gives you an answer where the water went there.
I said... In Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, it tells you how the water went down. I didn't write this. God did. And he said he did it scientifically by the laws of physics and the laws of evaporation, where you had wind come over the water. It picks up the water through evaporation, but, of course, it has to dump it somewhere. But in a worldwide flood, you can't dump it anywhere because you're dumping it on top of more water, which means the water level will never go down.
The valleys sank and the mountains rose.
So, you know, that's the way the water went down. God didn't say water go down, the water went down. That's not what it says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1.
In Psalm 104, it says the mountains rose, the valley sank, and he put the water in place
that
never again.
All right, okay. All right, we'll never resolve this tonight, but thank you both. Stay with me, please. We'll take another call and wrap things up tonight on a very fascinating show. I thank both of you for being so gracious, and we'll be back in 3 minutes with the final segment of the program. I'm Rick Adams on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
The first step in winning the war? Spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on RBNLive.com.
All right, we're back in the final lap here. Before I take one final call, we've had many people trying to get through and could not, so I'm going to ask both of you if you'd be willing to come back again sometime and continue this. Would
sure.
you? Mike?
Sure. I'd do that.
Good. I think you both gentlemen have been very good, and each with your perspectives on the scriptures. But I'm going to ask each of you one quick question now. Is it possible to make a man out of a monkey, or is it possible to make a monkey out of a man, if you believe in evolution?
Absolutely not.
All right, so you can make a monkey out of a man, but you can't make a man from a monkey, right?
No, you can't.
All right, let's take Joe. Joe Church is the final call here, quickly, for our guests.
Hi, Rick.
Yes.
Good
quickly,
show.
Joe.
Yes, I'd like to bring out a couple of the scriptures. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. This is reference to St. Paul. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. Three separate people. You see, Paul taught on three separate levels at the same time. And the scriptures can be understood depending on who the person is in a different way. So a lot of times you don't have contradictions. It's just the level that the person's on. Not to say it's wrong. So Paul taught on three different levels at the same time. There's a teacher for you.
Okay.
Okay, and I just want to bring out two other scriptures and I'm done.
Wow.
Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they tremble, and the hills move lightly. 25. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of heaven were fled. That word man is Adam, by the way, not Ish or Enosh. No man survived this particular destruction. Some people get this confused with Noah's flood. However, we know from the New Testament that Noah's flood, there were 8 Adamic souls saved. So there is a distinction between these two different floods. It confuses people sometimes. Also, I'd like to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. This would be the millennial time, and verse 21-24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And down to verse 26. And they shall bring the glory in honor of the nations, ethnos unto it. These are the ethnic peoples who see our Father and his knowledge in the millennium and come to him for and bring their people the knowledge. So there is definite distinctions, even in the millennial age,
mm-hmm.
that
All
we
right.
should be aware of and keep that in mind.
Very interesting.
I said enough, guys.
We're out of time, unfortunately. You don't have much time to respond, but if you want a brief 30-second response.
There were nice scriptures you read. You just have to keep them in the context. Yes, the earth was without form and void, but we have a God of order. And original creation and his only creation, mm-hmm. it was created with water. Then each day he created something new that we need in order for man to survive.
Okay, Gene.
So it was created without form and void.
All right, Psalm 104 does not talk about the flood of Noah. It doesn't even mention the flood of Noah there. And it says that Adam had Seth, 130 years old, and then he had daughters. That's long after Cain left. My phone number is 817-483-1485. 817 area code 483-1485. My website is BibleTruthMan.com.
Thank you very much. And Mike, your number if you have one?
You can get a hold of us at Answers in Genesis and my cell phone, 859-250-7987.
Thank you both, gentlemen. God bless, and we'll have you do it again when you'd like.
Thank you very much.
Good night now. Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. See you tomorrow night with DV Kid.